Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Let's hear the word of God. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father God, you have so abundantly blessed us already this day. You have given us the bread of the earth. But Heavenly Father, we hunger and thirst now for the bread of heaven, for the manna of your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? If you could have anything, what would you choose to acquire? Maybe you might want a new car. A new house. Maybe you'd like a raise at work. The list can go on and on and on. I know one of the things I wished for was that my favorite sports team would win the Super Bowl. Thank you, Jesus, I got that. Tampa Bay won. But the list could go on and on of things that we think would make us happy. You know, this question of what makes you happy, it is unconsciously in our minds all the time. We ask ourselves that question. As a matter of fact, that question guides and directs everything that we do, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Our day begins with this question. What shall I wear that will make me happy? What am I going to eat today that will make me happy? That's a basic question. But the underlying question is not what am I going to wear or what I'm going to eat, but what will make me happy? It's a question you can't avoid. You cannot escape it. Matter of fact, your whole life boils down to you answering that question. You never do anything unless it makes you happy. Now, preacher, I don't know about that. I was walking down the street the other day and a guy came up to me with a gun and says, "Give me your wallet or I'm going to take your life." So I gave him my wallet. I really didn't want to do that. But I gave him my wallet, and I would say, no. What was making you happy at that very moment was to give up your wallet and keep your life. See, every decision you make boils down to that question. What makes me happy? What makes me happy for the long term? What makes me happy right now? Even the founding fathers of our nation understood this question. They understood that it was basic to life. Because they said that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, according to some of the great minds in history, happiness is something to be pursued because it is a right by your Creator. It is a right given to you by your Creator to pursue happiness. So what makes you happy? Well, this question of what makes you happy is being addressed by Jesus in our passage this morning. Jesus also sees the pursuit of happiness as something basic to life, just as the founding fathers of our country did. If someone were to ask Jesus, Jesus, should I pursue happiness? I think Jesus would say, by all means, pursue happiness with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, with all of your strength. Pursue happiness. Pursue happiness because that is why you were made. This may surprise you, but Jesus pursued happiness. What do the scriptures say? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy, the happiness, the pleasure set before him endured the cross. Does that surprise you? Does that surprise you that Jesus would pursue happiness and joy? It probably surprises most of us because a lot of us don't think that Jesus, don't think that God is concerned about our happiness. Maybe something's happened to you in your life that was very difficult to live through. Maybe now you're a little bit bitter about it. And you think, God's not concerned with my happiness. Now be serious. Do you really think that you're more concerned with your happiness than Jesus would be? Happiness and joy were the pursuit of Christ Himself. In our weak and ignorant confidence, we think that God is not concerned with our happiness. But it is our sin that deceives us. It is our sin that places our feelings above the truth of the Scriptures. Happiness and joy were the pursuit of Christ. And happiness and joy should be the pursuit of the disciples of Christ. You see, we make the same mistake that the disciples did. Remember the story of the disciples there in the boat and they're rowing and the wind is blowing and the waves are tossing the boat. And what's Jesus doing? He's sound asleep. He is sound asleep. And so they wake him and say, Lord, Lord, aren't you concerned about us? We're about to die. And Jesus says, O ye of little faith. And he speaks, and the wind stops, and the waves are calmed. And just like the disciples, we think that God is not concerned with our happiness. But yet the scriptures tell us that even Jesus pursued happiness and joy in his life. But the issue that Jesus raises with us is not, should we pursue happiness? But the issue that he raises is, you should pursue happiness, but let me tell you where you can find it. Jesus is not against earthly treasures. He does not condemn us if we make a profit at what we do. As a matter of fact, he even encourages and commands diligent labor. The command of thou shalt not steal also comes with the command of you shall work. And not only shall you work, but you should work in a way that you make a profit. So Jesus is not against earthly treasure. He wants to put it in the right priority. And what Christ speaks against is the making of earthly treasure as the object of your ultimate happiness. Now, why does Jesus warn us against this? First, the seeking of happiness in earthly treasures, it's a no-win situation. We all know that nothing stays new and works perfectly forever. There is decay. As Jesus says, there is rust. And in some cases, the moths might eat our earthly treasure. Or the thieves may break in and steal our earthly treasure. I remember my dad. I can see him now out in the tool shed. If it ain't one thing, it's another. As soon as I get one thing fixed, something else breaks. Does that sound like you? Yeah, we all think that way. Things that we treasure, they break. Or they're stolen. So earthly treasure is not something, though it's okay to have it, it is not the ultimate where we find happiness. Even in our relationships with one another, that should not be the ultimate pursuit of happiness. Because as I talk about my dad and the things he said, yet I'm quite aware that my dad is no longer with us. Neither is my mom. You have lost loved ones. And you will lose loved ones. So whether it is earthly material things or earthly relationships, though they do bring us some joy and happiness, that's not what Jesus points us to. Because earthly wealth is like a dream. It seems so real at the moment. But then as soon as you wake up, it fades away. And the real problem with pursuing worldly things to find our happiness in is that it's dangerous to do so. Because to seek the things of the earth as the object of your ultimate happiness, that's idolatry. It is putting something before God Himself. It is setting up someone or something in the place of God. You wouldn't go out and worship sticks and stones. But yet when we put earthly things before God, Jesus Christ, that's exactly what we do. And as we pursue earthly things as the ultimate thing that's going to provide us with happiness and joy, it is idolatry, and therefore we will start to move away from God in the pursuit of the things that bring us joy. You remember the story of the rich young ruler. It is because he loved his wealth that he would not follow Christ. Eve in the garden, because she saw that the fruit was pleasing to look at and pleasing to the taste, she turned away from the living God. As we focus on the pursuit of earthly things, the pursuit of God then begins to die. Where then is happiness to be found? If Christ pursued happiness and joy, and we're even told in the Scriptures to pursue happiness and joy, where do we find happiness and joy? Well, we're told here in verse 20, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Heavenly treasures are riches that can never spoil, fade, or be taken away. But what are these treasures? It is God Himself. God tells Abraham, as a matter of fact, to be specific, it is the second person of the Trinity. It is a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ that says to Abraham, "I am your very great reward. I am your very great reward." Well, this makes sense when you follow the story of the Scriptures. That our calling in life is to pursue happiness and joy. The first question of the Shorter Catechism states, "What is the chief end of man?" In other words, why were you made? Why are you here? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and what else? Enjoy Him. Enjoy God. Enjoy God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Enjoy Jesus Christ. Our triune God is the very embodiment of happiness and joy. There can be no happiness outside of God. There is none who is good but God alone. Now let me explain this a little bit further. The three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are now and have always been in community. They have loved each other from all eternity. Put on your thinking cap. There has never been a time, never in all of eternity, where there was complete silence. Never. Because from all eternity, before there was even time and space, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were speaking to one another. And we're telling each other how much they loved. The Father would say to the Son, "I love you." The Father would say to the Spirit, "I love you." The Son would say to the Father, "I love you." The Son would say to the Spirit, "I love you." The Spirit would say to the Father, "I love you." The Spirit would say to the Son, "I love you." And they were in this community. Never has there been a time where there was complete silence, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this one God in three persons, were always communicating with one another and always communicating their love for each other. Always. When something really neat happens to you, what's the first thing you want to do? You won the lottery, or you won the championship at the school, or you got engaged, you know, you're pregnant, you're going to have a baby. Something magnificent and wonderful has happened to you. What's the first thing you want to do? Who's the first person I'm going to call to tell? I want to tell somebody about it. That's what we do with wonderful and joyful and happy things and relationships and events. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit loved each other so much that they said, "We just can't keep this to ourselves. So, in the counsel of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they created They created a place, an environment, where those who were going to be made in God's image would have a place to live so that they could glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And then you know the story of creation. Each day something was added. Each day something new came about. And when everything was complete, there stood a peach tree. There stood an orange tree. There stood an apple tree. Fully grown. Fully mature. Waiting upon those whom God would create in His image, so that those people could enjoy the creation, but most importantly, enjoy God and how He has provided for them. And then the Trinity spoke again. And they said, "Let us create man in our own image, male and female in our own image." But then something happened, didn't it? Sin entered into the world. And this sin broke communion with the man and his wife. And more importantly, it broke the communion that they had with God. But what do the Scriptures say? "The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart for all generations." It was God's purpose to create for Himself that a people would live in communion with Him and enjoy Him forever. So what happens? Well, what happens is the second person of the Trinity takes upon Himself flesh and blood. And He obeys the commands of God perfectly in word, thought, and deed. He earns a righteousness for those whom God has chosen. And then the second person of the Trinity goes to the cross and suffers the pain and the wrath of God for those whom God has chosen to see His glory and enjoy Him forever. This is all accomplished through the sending of Jesus Christ to be the perfect sacrifice. He suffered our wrath. God delivered Christ up to the cross in order to deliver us from the wrath of God. God saved us in order that we may be saved from Him. And so then God's plan has been completed and is in the process of being completed. You see, it is the Trinity, this one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is joy. He is happiness. Though God promised Abraham many things, yet the ultimate reward for Abraham was God Himself. Abraham would glorify and enjoy God forever. Moses, Jacob, King David, Peter and Paul, you and I have been chosen to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This happiness that we are waiting on is not something in the abstract. It's not like Forrest Gump, you know, in the box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. No, in our case, our happiness, our joy is to be found in one God, in three persons. All of Scripture points to this. All of Scripture points to God creating a people to live with Him. We see that in the garden. But then throughout all of redemptive history, God gives us shadows. He gives us illustrations that this is His will. When the people, when Israel came out of Egypt, there was the tent of meeting. Moses and Aaron would go into the tent of meeting. And there God would instruct them. And where was the tent of meeting? It was in the center of the camp. The tent of meeting. And then around the tent of meeting, the Levites, the priests, would camp with their families. And then on the outside, the rest of Israel would camp. And so what was God showing? That God is going to live with His people. He's going to enjoy them and they're going to enjoy Him. He is at the center of His people. But you just can't approach Him on your terms. You have to approach Him on His terms. There has to be a mediator. That's why the Levites camped around the tent of meeting. You must go through a mediator. And we know that mediator to be Jesus Christ. Then when Israel settled in the promised land and the temple was built, once again, it was in the temple that the presence of God was there. In the middle of Israel. And the people lived around Jerusalem. But the only ones who could go into the Holy of Holies was the great high priest. And he only did that once a year to offer sacrifice. Oh, this is a story of Jesus Christ. This is a story of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in the midst of the people. Yet you can't approach them on your terms, only on their terms. And then we move ahead hundreds of years, and what do we find? This is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. It is through Jesus Christ that we are given the great privilege of glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. Our triune God is where joy, happiness, and pleasure is ultimately to be found. the treasures of heaven. The thieves cannot steal that. The rust cannot rot it. The moths cannot eat it. It is an inheritance kept for you that will neither fade nor perish. Kept for you through the intercession of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, let us don't be like Israel. Israel got out in the desert, and some of them said, we need to go back to Egypt. Because remember all those good things that we had in Egypt? My friend, do not go back to Egypt. It's only slavery. Slavery to the evil one. Oh, he will entice you with the treasures of the earth. But they deceive you. Because the thieves will steal it. The rust will destroy it. The moths will eat it. Only in our triune God is holiness, happiness, joy, and pleasure to be found. That happiness that can never be taken from you. Not only was Jesus Christ Abraham's great reward, but he's your great reward as well. Pursue happiness with all of your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. But pursue it in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father,